Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
35.
Number 35.
Wow, I'm so original. I echo exactly what you say every time.
You're like Sigourney Weaver in Galaxy Quest. Just saying what the computer says.
Yes.
I guess that makes me the computer.
I guess.
Hey, kid, I'm a computer.
Better than Hal.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking about Hal the computer, not Hal, yeah. Malcolm's dad.
No.
Oh. No. They're both machines. Yes. That's all I know. So, big week coming up.
Yeah.
We're filming simultaneously two projects. Well, but our equipment sure is.
Yes.
We've given that to Zombie Orpheus for Dark Dungeons / Attacking the Darkness. Two simultaneous shoots happening to save on crew, I guess is a way to put it.
Yeah.
They're going to be funny. Well, one's going to be funny. One's going to be serious.
One's going to be serious.
Very serious. Very, very important.
Yeah.
Message for all of you tabletop gamers out there about how they just want to save your souls.
Yeah.
You can't save your soul.
I just wish we'd done the second project as a standalone and not attach it to the first project.
It officially is a standalone. Do you mean just not attach it so that the production didn't, like, completely kill everybody?
Yes.
Yeah, because two movies at once is really hard.
Yeah.
We've done it before.
Yes.
And it's a bad idea. But I think because of the improv nature, it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Are you doing anything with it?
Yeah, I'm going to be there Thursday from 5 a.m. to last shot, so.
For what?
Don't know. Got to talk to Christian about that tonight, probably.
Oh.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I think Saturday.
I know what you are then. A couple of other names I can't drop right now.
Yeah.
For that. Oh, cool names though. Cool names.
But I don't even know what's, I haven't seen a script. I haven't seen a shooting schedule.
Read the little chick track?
Yeah, ish.
I can point right to where it is in the chick track. We'll talk after this.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
So additionally, big, like, kind of a big event next Tuesday. December 17th is a big day.
Yeah, Rude Mechanical.
No, they're closing I-5 from 11 to 4:30. 11 p.m. to 4:30 a.m. And Rude Mechanical.
What?
11 p.m., don't worry, you're fine. To 4:30 a.m. Though, what time does shooting end on Tuesday?
I don't know. Like I said, I haven't seen Squad what it is.
Yeah, they're closing I-5 for like...
For why?
5 hours.
Why have I not heard about this?
Do you not read the big blinking orange signs at the side of the road?
Apparently not.
That's where I get all my news. It's more reliable than Fox.
Yeah, yes.
A little drier
is.
than Daily Show, but still, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's zombies.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you gonna do?
No, I haven't really gotten out.
Isn't there any other reason the Tuesday is special?
Yes.
What is that?
There is. It's 8 days before Christmas.
All right, if you want to do this, fine. Yes, it's 8 days before Christmas.
Yep.
Happy 8 days before Christmas on Tuesday, Scott.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Appreciate that.
So, yeah, that's... yeah.
We talked about yours after the fact. We can talk about mine after
the
fact.
Okay, gotcha. What is this, like 900? 912?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
About...
Have you been flippant to any young Jedi about your age yet? Because...
No.
Oh.
No.
Hmm.
Unless Brian gets his audition.
Ooh. Well, he got his audition. His call back. Yeah.
Yeah.
If he gets called back, that'd be awesome. That open audition for Star Wars was really cool, and I really hope a lot of you guys out there took the opportunity to give it a try.
That would be very cool.
Yeah.
I was not age appropriate, therefore I couldn't.
So, what, even for Palpatine? Jesus. He's dead in this one, too.
They said nope.
No. I do want to give a shout-out to Trampus Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lovely Krampus Day card from Trampus. It was actually... it was a Wissau card from the room. The guy who did the... I can't even explain how awesome it is. You know the room?
No.
Oh, boy. We have work to do. It is one of the most unintentionally, hilariously bad movies. And the writer, director stars in it.
Oh, wow.
It's great. Anyway, so yeah, Trampus gave me that. My friend Chris Bovey actually sent me an original piece of artwork he did for the Shack Restaurant in Spokane, which is an old famous, like lots of wood paneling, sort of old style family dining restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
He did some illustration for them and sent me a... It's so cool, man. I haven't sent anybody anything. Seth sent me something as well, a little card.
Oh,
it's been crazy. Well, so I've been getting all sorts
so
of
nice
stuff.
That Seth sent you a little card.
Tim.
Thanks, Seth. Trampus sent me a card.
Yeah?
I got a Joy card with a Mr. T.
Oh, nice.
Stamp.
Yeah,
that
Joy
pretty
T.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't know how you spell Joy with T, but whatever.
I don't either, but it was
You can spell anything
awesome.
With T, though.
Yeah. And Tim Martin.
Stay in milk, drink your school. Tim Martin sent me one as well.
Yep.
With his family on the front looking
yes.
all
woo, with exclamation points.
Congratulations on the house, they said. Thank you very much, guys. Can't wait to go back to Spokane. And I gotta get this over with. Adam Boyd, if you happen to be listening, or Clancy, if you want to pass this message on, sorry to trigger the hot button about Spokane. I didn't know. And I wouldn't have been offensive. No, I still would have. I would have. Spokane can take it. She's a tough city.
Whoa, what hot button? What?
On Facebook, I made a joke about Spokane Christmas carols. A little town of Methlehem. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So you read them.
Yes, I did.
And Adam is, obviously because of, you know, he's a very sort of locally patriotic type of person,
mm-hmm.
very pro Spokane. I do want to bring up, you grew up in the Valley. I grew up in Spokane when the Valley was like a different city. And I also grew up on South Hill. And so we did live in two different Spokanes. I lived in Meade for a while. But I lived in the poor part of Meade. And if you know anything about Meade, there's one poor part. It's the trailer
delicious.
Cart. Or the trailer court, rather. No, it's not. Anyway, so I will try to keep the Spokane bashing under control.
Ish.
However, if you want to call me a dick for it, so be it. I don't really care.
I will just say that after this, a certain somebody that we know mm-hmm. was markedly impressed with your grasp of the English language and intellect.
I will have to talk further about this.
Yeah, you did. You did that one, and what was the other
Redditor,
one?
The Redditor, Rudy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rudy the douchebag Redditor.
Yes, and was just in stitches, and was just like, "Wow, he's smart."
Okay. I'm glad he's not reading everything then.
Yeah.
That's proof. So, Adam, you know, I will still come into town. I will buy you a Pete's Pizza calzone because I know what's up. And, you know, we'll just kind of like bury the hatchet.
What was that sandwich shop we went to?
Brucci's. Oh my God. I love the Brucci's. Brucci's is probably my favorite cheesesteak place. They're not like traditional cheesesteaks. They're Brucci's cheesesteaks. They're their own thing.
Yeah, they are.
And their bread is awesome. And they cook the A1 sauce in a sandwich. It's so tasty.
Yeah, it was a pretty special sandwich.
Yeah, yeah. But having been locally almost forced to eat Senor Froggy for a long time in Spokane, I will fight you if you say that is good in any way.
I don't know what that is.
No, don't worry about it. You don't want to. Well, a lot of people love it. I hated it. Senior Froggy was awful.
Is it a Mexican restaurant?
Yes.
Okay, good.
You think it would
like,
be like
if
a...
If it's a Cajun restaurant, then I don't want to go.
Be like Mexican-French fusion, maybe, or something, which I guess would be Cajun. That's exactly... You just defined Cajun.
Thank you. No, you defined Cajun. I just said Cajun.
Yeah, but you said if it was...
Whatever. Anyway. Yeah. It's the end of a long week.
7 days, just like always.
Really? Is that all it was? Yeah. Seven?
Yeah, my like week was so many more. My weekend was, it started out, the problem is, okay, so I high-barred my weekend right out of the gate. Friday night, Kayla's birthday party. So we all went to Monroe. I'm sorry about that tap there. We all went to Monroe, hung out, got fucking way too drunk.
Thanks, Kayla.
I watched...
I'm sure that my invite got lost somewhere in the mail.
On the internet.
On the internet.
Right. I watched Tiff Pike play Contra 3, which is on Super Nintendo. Super Contra, Contra 3.
Okay.
I think. I was really trashed. I don't know. Maybe that was it. Maybe it wasn't. No, it was Contra 3.
Is that a martial arts game or is that a first-person shooter?
It's okay. Neither. It's, dude, Super Nintendo. I guess Doom, or not Doom, Wolfenstein was on Super Nintendo. That's okay. An FPS, but there really weren't a lot of FPSs. It was you two little guys, and you go around. It's kind of like Commando, like only in a video game.
Oh, okay.
So you go around shooting stuff, and the original Contra on NES had a very heavy, heavy alien theme, like Alien.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, but it was really cool. Watching that kind of sideways because I couldn't stay upright. And then listening to Aaron argue with the GPS on the way home. It was a fun night. But seriously, I topped it out on Friday because Saturday was kind of lame sauce. You know, I did a couple of things on Saturday. I think I went to... Well, I had to go to Jigsaw to... what was I doing? I was handing off something.
Is this yesterday?
This was yesterday. Oh, camera equipment. I was doing the camera equipment handoff for Dark Dungeons. So I did that. But most of the day yesterday was like cleaning and stuff. And then today was just more house installations. Towel rack. Or not, a second towel rack and a little door, magnetic door holder thingy because our door swings open.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Woo! Party!
Awesome.
Yeah. I did trade in the horrific abortion of a game called Rise. It was awful. That game sucked hard. I'm serious. The whole beginning of the game, like I'm sitting here. You know what? Fucking Nero, you just burn. You burn, you die. I don't want to save you. This game is awful. So I traded it in and got Lego Marvel. Yeah. Which I'm pretty sure, is it Clark Gregg or Greg Clark? Greg Clark, right?
Greg Clark.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he actually does the voice of Coulson in the game. None of the other voices.
No, sound... Clark Gregg.
You're right. I know, that's right. Okay. Clark W. Gregswald.
It's like David Keith and Keith David.
Jeez! One's except black, there is. One's white. Yeah, I was going to say, there is a David Keith.
Yes.
And a Keith David.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a Greg Clark out there. There's a Blake Clark.
I'm sure somewhere out there is a Greg Clark.
We're going back to Cajun because he was in Waterboy. Blake Clark, remember?
No,
he's the "You Can Do It" guy. Well, not Rob Schneider.
Okay, I was gonna say there's two. Rob Schneider.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the coach that you couldn't understand.
Oh yes,
or whatever the drunk guy. Yeah,
yeah.
That's Blake Clark.
Okay.
I guess he was in Little Nicky too, right? He was the not Kevin Nealon guy from hell who Kevin Nealon got tits on his head.
The not Kevin
Nealon guy from hell.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, well. Anyway, so I'm pretty sure he does a voice in, not Blake Clark, but.
Right.
Yeah. I think Clark Gregg does a voice in Marvel. I think he does Coulson. None of the other voices sound familiar. They don't sound like they're.
And they don't give credits or anything on it?
Not yet. Well, I haven't. You know they don't include books with video games anymore, right? It's ridiculous.
They don't?
The days of books being included with a video game, long gone. Unless you're in Japan, and then they include like fucking leather-bound tomes. Right? No, seriously. Ni No Kuni, it's this Miyazaki-based game.
Mm-hmm.
The American book, it did come with a book because it kind of had to. The American book is like 15 pages long, half Xeroxed. It's like a pile of shit. The Japanese version, well, one of the Japanese versions, comes with this gigantic, like, leather-bound, beautiful art book that includes the game instructions and, like, what?
Wow.
God, it's because Americans don't read.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, though, here's my argument for books coming with video games.
Okay, I'm ready.
I am sick of the hour-long tutorial. I am sick to fucking death of sitting down to play a game and having to be handheld for an hour or more. Or more. There's a game out there with like a 10-hour long tutorial before you ever get to the actual gameplay. I played a game before where one of the Final Fantasy games, I think you play almost 4 hours before the credits roll. The opening credits roll. Like, it's just nuts. It's stupid.
Wow.
I would rather just give me the book. Give me the book. I'll learn it. That's fine.
Yeah,
sick of tutorials. You know, if it's a completely, completely brand new play style that has never been done before, okay. A 5-minute tutorial, and if it's harder to learn than something you can pick up in 5 minutes, you have made a bad game.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you could almost argue, and this is, because Batman's tutorial is pretty quick, but it's also credits, and it's story.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that place is kind of okay. But you can almost argue that Batman's tutorial never even ends. Every time you get an upgrade, you get a tutorial on that upgrade, and you have to go through something that uses that upgrade. So it's not a situation where, like, you go... It is kind of. Like, you go through a bunch of stuff where you can't reach things without upgrades. But when you get the upgrade, you're on rails again to learn the upgrade.
Oh.
It's a better way to do it, though, than making me play for an hour...
Before you can play. God,
I hate the pop-up. And you're like getting into the flow of things and you know what's going on. And it's just pop-up, pop-up, pop-up. Hey, try this. And you can't get any further until you do the stupid thing they want you to do, even though you've already figured out how to do the thing that would make the thing that they want you to do obsolete.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I liked the online game, not to be confused with the movie, which really confused me because the web series came out, I was playing this game called Glitch.
Right.
Which is
created
by the guy from Twitter.
Minecraft? No.
No. It's either Twitter or Foursquare. One of the big apps that went off, these guys went and then decided to create this game where they just drop you in and it's a total immersive world and you just figure it out.
Right.
And there's hints along the way, but it was, I like those.
Mm-hmm.
I like having to figure it out. But then I'm using left, right, and my brain and maybe jump.
Mm-hmm.
That's the level to which I've evolved. I cannot do the gaming keyboard that has 50 million commands or the one trigger for each finger, one joystick for each finger, buttons above the triggers for the fingers, and you know, that's too much for me to manhandle.
I don't mind it, but again, it's like the whole stopping the gameplay to tell you what to do while you're doing it is really annoying.
Oh, yeah.
And the worst part is it's unskippable, right? So like, I want to start a new game.
Yeah.
I've played this game before. Too bad. Tutorial time again.
And the other thing is you grew up with different console games. I went from Atari to basically the new Xbox controller.
Right.
So
right.
I have no concept other than joystick and red button.
Yeah, well, when you start playing games on your computer, like we've talked about you actually starting to do in a real way, the Xbox controller is indispensable. It's wonderful to have on your computer. It works so awesome.
Oh, I'm sure.
And so you get used to it pretty quick. The quickest way I've ever found to get used to a controller is play a fighting game, generally, because it doesn't get you... There's nothing magic about any of the buttons. They don't... You know, it's not like a bunch of... It just gets you used to where they are.
Right.
Because, you know, heavy kick is, you know, R1, like, or heavy punch is L1, and you have to kind of use all of them, but they're all still one thing. They just do one thing.
Right.
So fighting games are a good way to do that.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I was sick last week, so I didn't do much.
Oh, indeed you were. Indeed you were. Though we did record Rude Mechanical three times. Or twice, I guess. Or, well, we did it once live.
Yeah.
And then we did it once kind of live. It was live. It was live. We just
it was unrehearsed one take.
Unrehearsed one take, not broadcast. So
And then that's what's up, right?
Well, and then there was a screw up, so we had to link the beginning 30 seconds of that to the correct edit for that.
And oh, right, because I said something bad.
Well, I wasn't going to say that.
It's fine. I said something bad.
We worked it out. There's timeline stuff all over. And there is an Easter egg. There is an Easter egg in the final version.
Ooh.
Yeah. I will tell you right now what the Easter egg is. There's an Easter egg where you can see the original broadcast version that was royally fucked up. Like, royally fucked up. We're talking drops all over the place. It was audio non-synced entirely.
Oh, yeah.
But I fixed the audio. I didn't fix it. There was missing chunks of video and then big dead spots of audio. And when I crushed it all down. Anyway, but it's out there kind of in a weird way. You got to see it, right? I sent you that.
I've seen the actual.
So it's all
edit, but yeah.
Yeah. It's got some cool effects and stuff.
Yes.
So. But yeah, well, there you go, listeners. Easter egg for you.
By the way, if you haven't seen the intros to American Horror Story.
Yeah.
I want to learn to edit that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, really badly.
Well, Buman wants to get into it too. I think maybe we should, all three of us, just maybe pay for some of those Creative Live classes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because they do some awesome stuff and it's just like, oh, I want to do that. So...
I did get the last cast signature required for the Glitch DVDs.
Huzzah!
Yep, so Tessa Archer, Connor Marks, Trin Miller, Brian Lewis, Jesse Keeter, and Tom Brophy have all signed.
Awesome.
So that's the big six. Curtis was unable to, so it sucks. And then Megan was unable to as well. Now they're in the hands of the writers and director Tyler and Brendan, who will also sign them. So if you ordered a signed Glitch DVD through the Kickstarter, they should be shipping only 2 years after we almost 2 years after the Kickstarter ended.
Yay.
So that's that.
But we fulfilled it. Well, I have a frog in my pocket.
Yeah. A Cajun frog?
Yes, Senor Frog.
Does Blake Clark do his voice?
Well, my frog, mon ami, oh, chef. See ya. Ribbit.
Yeah, ribbit.
All right. So I guess we should probably get to. Oh, by the way, happy holidays to everyone.
Yes.
Because there's a good chance this is the last podcast until the new year.
Because really?
I'm going to Idaho.
When?
Next Saturday.
Oh.
And we've got like the whole filming thing. And then with Christmas and all that stuff, I'm sure you're probably going to be in Oregon. That reminds me. Side note, you guys get to hear our little conversation. This needs to be taken care of this week.
I know. Wait until afterwards and say, when can we get that done? Cause
cool. Yeah, we'll do that this week. We're fixing a computer, so in case you're wondering.
It's actually... I'll tell it because it.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm an awful son. So last year, Andy helped me remake my killer awesome machine that I have now, and I had a pretty good one before.
Mm-hmm.
That for most of it, I sold at a very good price to Tacoma Youth Theater and Scott Campbell.
Right. Yeah, they got a good deal.
And I had some extra parts, and my parents have a Dell from, I think it's in the 2000s, probably about 2005. And every time I would go there, I would get on Windows 98 and want to shoot myself because they have Comcast and this thing, you know, they've got decent broadband and it just sucked wind and... So I built them a computer. What? We got this done last January.
Yeah, yeah.
It's still here.
Yeah.
I
think it was later than January.
Maybe February.
Yeah, I think it was like February.
But it was right, you know, and that was going to go down because my mom was really getting into photography and Lightroom, right. and
yep.
wanted her to have a good machine, and Dad had bought her a laptop for Christmas with Windows 8, and so she was really excited about that.
Yep.
And I thought, okay, we'll have... So yeah, it's still not not done. And so then we did the upgrade to Windows 8.1. Oh, no, wait, hold it.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't, because there's some... Who knows what the fuck it is.
I think it's the RAID on the system drive, so we're just going to take that out because it's not needed.
Right.
So,
but, I mean, this thing has been... I have tried to take it down, what, 3 times? 4 times?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
every time...
I got to say, from my perspective, I'm glad, though, that it failed now.
Yes.
Rather than have it, well, though, I could have gone to Paddington's on that trip. If we would have went down,
you could have
had an excuse to get a Bandito fresh. Because the Bandito doesn't travel.
No.
For those of you who are wondering, we're talking about Paddington's Pizza in Salem, Oregon.
Mm,
which is amazing pizza. They do this where, like, you know when you go to a buffet? Okay, for my American friends, you know when you go to a buffet, I don't think they have them anywhere else, and they have those stacks of plates? That's kind of like how their crusts are. They just have these stacks of pre-made crusts. And they're really good for some reason. And it's like sauce to the edge and everything like that. They're a very, very unique pizza company.
Yes.
But one of the pizzas they do is called the Bandito. And it is a Mexican pizza with crushed Doritos on it. And you get it at your table hot with a hot sauce ketchup bottle, like a bottle full of hot sauce. It's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, it doesn't travel. I bring the pepperoni home.
The pepperoni's great because the pepperoni reminds me a lot. It's an adult version of Chuck E. Cheese pizza.
Yeah.
It's got flavor, which
yes.
Chuck E. Cheese doesn't.
No.
And it's totally a grown-up version of that because it still has the little pepperoni bowls.
Yes.
That, like, hold the oil in.
And I get the double pepperoni.
Oh, baby.
And it's like, I don't know, $1.40 for the extra toppings. It is so worth it because there is more pepperoni on that thing. And they're, what, they're nickel-sized
slices of tiny pepperoni. Guys.
And it is just three or four thick.
Oh, yeah.
And there's more pepperoni than there is crust on that thing.
Oh, man, yeah. It's,
and this, the cheese is good.
Pizza looks like a portrait of Job, kind of late in the story. It is just covered with little pepperoni pieces.
Mmm.
That's gross.
That's totally gross.
Oh, man. Okay,
if so only I knew who Job was.
I heard a...
Gob.
Gob? From... No. Arrested Development? No. No, I heard a literary dad joke the other day, and I loved it. I was so happy to hear this joke. It was, I love jokes about Dorian Gray. They never get old.
Yeah.
I see it. Just wait until after. Don't get it now.
I won't.
Don't drop the cap and get it in the middle of the podcast. All right.
That was a bad joke.
Yeah. I love it, though.
Really? Yeah. It is.
It's... You know, it doesn't get old, but pictures of it do.
Yes.
So... That's fine.
Okay, we're going to get back to the questions now.
Have we gotten to them yet at all?
No.
All right.
Not at all.
Let's get to the questions.
We're going to probably...
Oh, right.
No.
Another big thank you.
Yes.
So my brother, Nate Marino, I gave him a tablet for his wedding and birthday, and it had an art pen on it, and he's like... Wow, man, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? I was like, just joking. I was like, don't worry about it. Just draw me a Two Bards cover photo for Facebook or something. He totally did. And
yeah,
it's awesome.
Yes.
And I love it. It is Scott and I sitting at a table. I'm apparently tuning Scott's mandolin.
And I am raising a very large cup of mead.
You're getting
something.
Your mandolin tuned.
Yes.
You should be. But it's just an awesome picture, and he gave us full rights to it, so we're going to do some fun stuff with it, I think. Maybe get it on a shirt or something. I don't know.
Cool.
But we'll talk to people about that when it happens. I'm just really totally stoked, and thank you, Nate. If you're probably not listening, I don't care. Thank you anyway.
Yes, thank you, Nate.
Kicked ass.
It was awesome. So we're going to go with Facebook questions first, because I think I have these in the chronological order in which they arrived. So we got
orderly of you.
Thank you. Yeah, we got a bunch of Twitters today.
Tweeters?
Tweeters.
Okay, cool.
And so Paula Moran, not Morgan.
Right.
Who says, the invisible G strikes again. My apologies, Paula.
I try to correct him. It doesn't work.
No. It's my eyes. continuing the question from last time, what kind of character or creature makeup would you ever want to do if cost and discomfort were not an issue?
That one's easy for me.
What?
I would absolutely positively do the Devil from Legend.
Ooh.
That or Ron Perlman, Hellboy. Perlman, anything.
I was just going to say Hellboy or Abe Sapien, but I don't have the figure for it. I would have to be Boss Nass from...
Yeah, Doug Jones is... that's his name, right? Doug Jones? The guy who plays Abe Sapien. And like everybody. He played what's-his-name in Hocus Pocus, that movie I love so much. He played the zombie guy with his mouth shut.
He was also unmade up as a prison guard in Sons of Anarchy.
Oh,
in
really?
A very, very disturbing episode.
He also did
Oh, my God.
He did the hand guy from Pan's Labyrinth. He did Pan. From Pan's Labyrinth. I don't think he did the hand guy. He might have. He's so creepy looking. Yeah, like, he can move all weird.
Yes,
I want to see him do a Spring Hill Jack movie. Badly. So, you know the story of Spring Hill Jack? So, Spring Hill Jack... would gas people essentially in their homes, and it's one of those, they attribute it now to, once enough people believe it, mass hysteria starts and people start thinking it's happening. Like, oh man, I fell asleep and woke up, I must have been gassed, you know, that's weird, that never happened before, except it happens all the time. Anyway, so Spring Hill Jack, Lantern kind of had an oil slick coat and all this other stuff, and the pictures that people have drawn of him are nice and creepy. Or Candlejack from Animaniacs.
You don't know.
Okay, don't worry about it.
I remember Animaniacs.
Yeah.
I don't remember
Bad
all
Idea
the characters.
Bears. Mm. Bad Idea Bears. I should have paid more attention. That's all I'm saying. But anything, Doug. I think it's Doug Jones.
I think it is too.
Is amazing, and I couldn't do because physically there's no way. But yeah, like Tim Curry from Legend, or I don't know. There's a lot of cool stuff. Or that practical orc that Damon Van Hee shared. I don't know if you guys know this, but the original Hobbit orcs were practical and were amazing.
Yes.
Like, stunning. These orcs were fucking stunning, and they replaced them with that fucking worn out cave troll model that they use for everything now.
Yep.
Peter Jackson, I love you, man, but stop.
Yeah.
Use your practical work. That practical stuff was awesome.
Oh, it looked wicked.
The Uruk-hai are the best part of Lord of the Rings in terms of practical makeup effects. They are just great, and they sell.
Yeah.
They sell that look. This practical orc that they made. So they hired a costumer. They hired a good effects artist. They hired an actor. They hired all these people and then painted over it with shitty CGI.
Yep. Because it looks CGI.
You hurt me deep. You cut me, Weta. With your large mandibles. Because, see, a Weta is a really huge insect.
Right.
Huge, like huge.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't... The only thing I can think of that would be... discomfort, other than removal sucks.
Well, I'm assuming from the question that that's not an issue given the question.
Right.
So you can go full body with hair, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it'll just magically come off.
Right.
The only thing I could see that would be uncomfortable and would be the werewolves from Underworld, because even those guys who are trained in that and movement and have done a lot of creature stuff, we're like, this is really, you know, I could not stand in these things for a long time.
Well, they had stilts, didn't they?
They were stilt springy type things, and they were almost like on point.
Right.
And so it was really hard on the ankles and stuff, but that's the kind of thing I would like to do, would be some full-bodied, either Hellboy or, not so much the werewolves where there's no facial features left, but something that you have to act through, not just totally covered up, but like Strong Like Bull totally changed my face. I like that.
Yeah.
So, or, the other one, even without prosthetics and stuff, would be Charlize Theron in Monster.
Yeah.
I mean, that was...
If I could pull off Charlize Theron...
Yeah.
I would, man...
She could pull me off.
God damn it, Scott. I was trying to just be like, I'm a fat fuck. And you're like, oh, also, I would bang her. Great.
I did not say bang her. I said she could pull me off.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's done monster. What are you thinking?
I don't know.
Okay. Me neither. I don't know why I'm smiling so big right now. And then the other ever faithful Chris Piazzo writes, I know a ton more footage gets recorded than ever makes it into the final product, meaning our movies and web series. How do you decide what makes it into the extras of a DVD?
Well, the first big factor is space. Space yes. tells you how much room you have to pull extras. Then you can start prioritizing. General rule of thumb, if it's technically incredible, something mm-hmm. that like it has a lot of value to look at and enjoy on an education or technical level, that gets flagged. If it makes us laugh, mm-hmm. huge flag. If it tells some of the story behind the scenes, like a lot of the extras we put on DVDs are actual extended scenes or continuations or alternate takes yep. where the performance maybe told a slightly different story that gives, you know, a little bit more life to the final feature. So extended scenes we pick based on how they advance the story. Outtakes are 100%. Do they make us laugh, or are they really uncomfortable? That's the other.
Yeah,
it can make you laugh, or it can make you be like, ugh, I don't like that. So it's really, you know, it's a grueling process to figure out what goes on a DVD.
And a lot of it is thought out.
Right.
I mean, most of the technical stuff, if it's makeup, it's if it's how time. This shot yeah. does, how does this set get dressed, yep. those things, that's what BTS is, behind the scenes.
Yep.
There's a whole film crew
yep.
typically that does that, even for our stuff.
Yep, and that's filmed, that's actually what I used to do. And that's filmed beforehand with the intent of going on the DVD. That is carefully planned out, and then those pieces are looked at and cut or kept based on how well they tell their own story.
Mm-hmm.
Commentary is generally pretty cheap, so we just try to get as much fun commentary in as we can.
Yeah.
You know, but you've got to hit the major chunks, which are cast and production crew,
mm-hmm.
You know, writer, director, things like that. And then you can have some fun commentary.
Yeah.
Or some too fun commentary, which you again may be able to purchase very soon. The subtitle thing. Subtitles are probably the cheapest thing you can throw on a DVD, space wise.
Oh yeah.
And then once you have the first set made, they are the cheapest thing, even production wise, you can throw on a DVD, because all you have to do is have them translated, or have someone who enjoys making jokes. You know, like we had the D20 one on mm-hmm. On the new version of Darkness Rising,
right,
where they actually showed the D20 roles happening. So subtitles are super cheap, aside from that very, very first one where you get the timing down. So it all depends, really. You know, mostly, again, it's the size of the DVD, because we could just, you know, if we could afford it, we could put out 6 discs that have everything on it and let you sift through it.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
Have fun with that. But because we can't do that, you know, and the most you're ever going to get out of us is probably two DVDs worth of content. It's very, very vetted for space and size concerns. If it looks like ultimate crap after we compress it down enough, you know, we don't use it. That's the other thing, is the movie has to have a certain level of compression to look good.
Yeah.
So that gets the absolute first priority, period. The movie and the soundtrack to the movie get first priority, and those are only compressed to the very, very minimum that we can compress them and have them not lose anything. So that's, you know, that's the first thing out of the gate, which is why the Hands of Fate DVD, it is just too big. It's too much movie. So that's why these special features there are coming most likely in a supplemental release.
Yes. Supplemental release.
Yep.
All right. Twitter questions.
First one. What is Twitter?
What is Twitter?
Yeah.
It is 144 character SMS for online use.
There's like a bunch wrong with that, but all right.
Yeah.
It's 140 characters, and SMS is a specific protocol for doing wireless communication. But all right, it's fine. It's fine.
It's a short message system. Shut up.
Oh,
at least I know what SMS stands
for. That's true.
So Tom Brophy.
Tom Brophy.
At Thomas A. Brophy writes, "Hey guys, can you both share some of your favorite Peter O'Toole films other than Lawrence of Arabia?"
Well, good, because I wouldn't have shared that one anyway. I loved High Spirits, man. I loved High Spirits. I don't care what anyone says. And that's a Gutenberg film, and we know how I feel about Gutenberg.
Yes, High Spirits was good.
But High Spirits was awesome. Beverly D'Angelo. Like, this is just, what's her name? Hunger's poking at you, poking at you. She did a Snickers commercial. Daryl Hannah, I believe, was the...
Yes.
Yeah, so it was her, and Peter O'Toole, of course, ran the hotel. Mm-hmm. And Liam Neeson was the killer, or was the guy who was Daryl Hannah's attacker in that. The ghost.
Oh.
I'm almost biggest bohogies. Yeah, that was Liam Neeson.
My guilty pleasure is King Ralph.
Oh, I forgot he was in that. That's right.
Yeah.
You don't have that. That doesn't have to be a guilty pleasure. It was a great premise, by the way.
It was a great premise.
A multi-generational photo in the rain. Great premise to kill off all of the royal family. That was such a cool idea. King Ralph was great. Caligula, he was great in that.
Yes.
I wouldn't go so far as to call the movie even good.
No. A lot of penises in it.
Shocking, I guess.
Yeah, for the time.
For the time.
79.
Something like that.
Yeah. I did a quick IMDb check.
Oh, right.
Because
right.
I couldn't remember the name of a couple of them.
Yeah, I didn't get
the
a
first
chance
time
to do any of
this. I ever saw him was 7th grade Spanish class.
See?
In Man of La Mancha.
Ah.
With Sophia Loren.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Basketballs took on a whole new meaning for me.
Mm.
And that was before plastic surgery. I mean, she had a set of breasts that would not quit in that film.
She was probably allergic to something, dude.
Could have been. Mm. Bee stings. Who knows? Mm. But, yeah, as a 7th grader, very impressionable movie. Yeah. I'm surprised I remembered Peter O'Toole was in it. But I love it. My Favorite Year was another great one.
Yeah.
His line in Winter is, as far as I'm concerned, the quintessential performance of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say the most, I think his best, is a small film independent called Venus.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, go out. It is definitely a sort of who's who of British character actors. And the gal's been in a number of other things. But it is... You get a masterclass of watching him go through a variety of different situations, and it's amazing. It's an incredible film.
So yeah, and I when I posted the news story about his death, I first of all wasn't entirely sure he wasn't dead. He was one of those actors for me. I didn't know he had, because he hadn't done much lately.
No.
I think he did a voice in something recently.
Ratatouille.
Well, yeah, what's his name? The guy who did the reviews.
Yes.
With this coffin shaped room. But yeah, and that's like the last I remember hearing much about him. And there's probably some confusion there because I know Eartha Kitt was in that category, but she then did die.
Right.
And so my brain had kind of muddled, and I thought he was. He was dead, you know, and I know Abe Vigoda's alive, but, you know, I thought Peter O'Toole was dead already or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And I also thought he was much, much older than he was.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was only 81.
Yeah.
Like, that means in High Spirits he was in his 50s.
Yes.
So that was shocking to me, you know. But I'm really, you know, it sucks whenever you lose a truly great actor ever.
Yeah.
And also Lawrence of Arabia. Let's go.
But the good thing is, at least when you lose someone like that, you've got a body of work that you can go back and revisit.
Exactly. And it's like, yeah, That's being dead isn't nearly as scary as being forgotten.
Amen. So. And on that uplifting note, we're going to go to Lotta Jerf.
And, hi, Lotta.
And that's at Lotta Wake, L-O-T-T-A, Awake. Few things. A, she calls me out on the fact that I need to expand my knowledge of Scandinavia and other Nordic countries where the fjords are. I agree wholeheartedly. She says lutefisk, which is, now that I see it written, not the way I was pronouncing it.
Well, some people do. Lutefisk is like a different way to pronounce the same thing. Salted fish, right?
Okay. No.
No.
She sent us a twit pic.
Okay. Oh, I guess we're going to open the twit pic. Come on. What are you doing? Oh, what is... I can't even...
So
it's usually made from aged whitefish, so it's fish. It's been soaked in lye.
And a rather poisonous combination.
Mm-hmm.
Included a lovely little photo of sort of a French, I'm assuming that it's some sort of burnt salt along the edge, a rectangular cube of said whitefish, a leaf of some sort, some other dollop, and a...
Two dipping sauces
of like butter and probably a tartar sauce,
or
but
vinegar or something. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's pretty much what I thought I'd it like was. It.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Yeah, I don't. It's not my thing.
But no,
I'm not saying it's not someone's thing. So obviously, it's someone's thing, or we wouldn't be talking about it.
Correct. And she wanted to say that that's all from her late this evening. So she was awake, waiting for us to do the podcast. So thank you very much for all of those. And now to the actual question.
Yay, questions.
What will be the movie that you just have to watch during the Christmas holidays?
Oh, I've got a bunch. Do you want to go first? Because I've got a bunch. They're probably going to cross.
They probably are. For me, what I want to watch, what I want to go find, and I did some research, but I want all the Rankin Bass.
Oh, right.
Live... stop action.
Silver and gold, silver and gold.
Yes, with Burl Ives and the Rudolph's Baby New Year and Little Drummer Boy.
God, that's the one that has the fucking, what's his name, Epoch or whatever?
Yes,
the giant vulture?
The giant vulture.
That thing scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
He's Mr. Heat Miser. He's Mr. Sun. Da, da, da.
He's Mr. Heat Blister. He's Mr. 101. Yeah, I fucking love those. Yeah. Yeah.
So, those are the must watches on mine. And, you know, Frosty, Peanuts. Other than that, we're not like a White Christmas Family or
a fucking
Christmas Story.
Okay, you shut your mouth. Everyone's a Christmas Story fan. All right.
Yeah, I'm a fan of a leg lamp, yes.
A Christmas Story is there, and I'm just going to leave that one. We'll talk, whatever. Elf has to happen.
Oh, yes.
That one's just great. John Favreau, man. I'm telling you, he wrote the first Iron Man, directed the first, and he wrote and directed Elf. He co-wrote Elf, I think. That shit is awesome.
Yes.
I love Elf.
And Santa.
Die Hard.
Die Hard, yes.
Great Christmas movies, all, one and all. Gremlins, Christmas movie.
Really?
Gremlins is a... Dude.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever actually watched Gremlins.
Do you hear what I hear? It's, and then this tree stabs her. It's great. I love that movie. Well, it's not the tree. It's the gremlins in the tree. Because you see, when a Mogwai is fed after midnight, there are three rules to hunting a Mogwai, right?
Uh-huh.
It's don't get it in the sun, sunlight, or don't get it in the light. Sunlight will kill him. Don't get it wet. It causes him to reproduce. And don't ever feed him after midnight, which is the most arbitrary bullshit rule in the history of rules. It's always after midnight.
Right.
I don't even know, like, is there a cutoff? Is it like, oh, 12:15, they're fine. Just that 15-minute window. So, you know, then there's the grossest chicken-eating scene in film history, and the gremlins come. It is such a good movie. Corey Feldman in that movie at the beginning.
Yes. I remember that.
Rockin' Ricky Rialto. And the guy, the science teacher, plays everything everywhere. I forget his name.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, I love that movie. And, oh, poor Zach. What's his last name?
Zachary? Braff?
No. Zachary Quinto? Gilligan? Galligan? He's the guy who plays Billy Peltzer. I want to say it's Zachary Galligan. And then Phoebe Cates, of course, is in it.
Yes.
Phoebe Cates is awesome.
Red bathing suit from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Spicoli. Anyway, so they, you know, it's a great Christmas movie. Two is actually just a great movie because it is a complete parody. Like, I hated Two when I was a kid. I was like, this is stupid, and it's stupid and dumb, and it's dumb. But, like, as I got older, I realized how amazing it was to release a sequel that was a parody of the previous movie in such an obvious and amazing way. It was great. Gremlins 2 is actually great.
I might have to go back
the new
and
batch.
Watch these.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's additional Christmas films. On Christmas Day... I haven't had this tradition in a while, but I want to start it up again. Christmas Day is Star Wars Day. Christmas Day, you start A New Hope in the morning, and you watch 7 hours of Star Wars.
I like it.
Yeah, and then Thanksgiving is, of course, Indiana Jones. So, well, if you're not watching Turkey Day from MST3K, it's Indiana Jones.
Oh, I was going to say Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, that's a good
one,
too.
New Year's Day.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings, I don't know. Lord of the Rings is like an Easter Sunday thing, too. Because...
Not the extended edition. Though.
Not really into... Well, that's more of like a 12. Passover thing. Or like, yeah. That's Hanukkah. That's 8 days. Right?
Yeah.
That's, yeah. Or I guess 8 nights. Whatever.
8 crazy nights.
Don't do that. Don't. Just don't. So yeah, those are some of my favorite Christmas movies. I don't do It's a Wonderful Life, aside from the piece of it that's in Gremlins.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, movie house! You know, like that part, it just runs over and over again. Pod People's in that too.
I like it as a 710 Cairo did a fundraiser at Town Hall on Friday night, I think, mm-hmm. where they do the radio version live for the audience.
Well, that's different. That's awesome.
Though I like It's a Wonderful Life done that way.
Mm-hmm.
The movie, yeah, I get it. Whatever. I'm not a big fan of the movie. And Zuzu Petals is like... She's always going to be Fort Fairlane to me. I'm sorry. But Zuzu Petals will always
She's Ford Fairlane? I always thought Andrew Dice Clay was Ford Fairlane.
Well, Andrew Dice Clay is Ford Fairlane, but the girl is Zuzu Petals.
I didn't really watch it.
Oh, that is a classic film.
I tried to get through Pink Cadillac. Or no, Cadillac Man. I don't remember. Which is the one with Robin Williams in it?
Cadillac Man. Tim Robbins.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not... It's not that I like tried to get through it and failed. It's that like literally I sat down to watch it and got called away and never went back. But I've heard that's a really good movie. Not a Christmas movie necessarily.
No.
Oh, and Christmas Vacation. That's a good one.
Yeah.
You know what I love about Christmas Vacation?
What? Go ahead. No, because yours is about Christmas Vacation.
One of the things I love about Christmas Vacation is when the... I think it's the older Aunt Ruth or whatever. She sits down to say grace.
Mm-hmm.
The blessing! You know, that whole bit. And he points to his teeth, and it's weird. She starts to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay, she's very old, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she learned the Pledge of Allegiance before Under God was put in it. So when she's reciting it, there were a bunch of people who were like, oh, she forgot to say Under God, you know, on like all the IMDb forums and stuff. She didn't forget to say it. She never recited it with Under God in it because that wasn't added until the 50s.
Oh.
So that's, I think, amazing. It's a cool little tidbit. If you listen, she doesn't say it. Just one nation indivisible.
With liberty and justice for all.
Unless you're black.
Yeah.
Right.
Or a woman.
Or poor. Dude, there's a new, like, I don't know if you saw the news story, but you can buy even better justice now.
What?
If you're rich enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's this kid who, like, killed 4 people. And the judge gave him probation because he didn't understand consequences because he was so rich. That's not a joke. That happened. That's real. A Texas judge basically said...
Texas, okay.
Well, yeah.
They got their own brand of justice down there.
Yeah, and he should have been branded with it, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
But, yeah, there's a whole new... Wow. Maybe one day we can all get in, right? No.
Maybe.
No, by definition, we can't all get in. That's the whole point. It's an exclusive club, and you, my friend, and by you, I mean us, we're not invited.
No. So I was going to ask the thing I was going to... Mm-hmm. Chevy Chase did another Christmas movie.
Not Animal Farm. It had Adam Sandler in it as a cross-dressing... because he was is that the right one, or is that Steve Martin? Which one am I thinking of here? Fuck.
I can't remember, but I just remember it was wintry. Mm-hmm. and the car, and I wish I could remember which one that is, because I want to... Seth, help me figure out which Christmas movie that is. I want to say it's Chevy Chase, because it was after Christmas Story. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of a romantic comedy thing. I think it's something Farm.
Well, Funny Farm is Chevy Chase, where he's on the lawnmower on the cover. And I think he's wearing a Santa hat. So that might... No, he's wearing a baseball cap on the cover, I think. It's hard to do this without IMDb.
I know.
It's hard. But yeah, I think that's it. I think the one I'm thinking of is Steve Martin. Where he's a psychiatrist. Oh, The Ref. How did we miss The Ref as a Christmas movie?
Ooh.
We missed The Ref. We missed The Ref. And, Home Alone, to an extent, but it's a little too, I don't know. But The Ref.
The Ref, totally. Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that, too.
Yeah, we were. We were.
Wednesday. As a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Coming back from Rude Mechanical Part 2. He's still clusterfuck.
It's a little unfucked.
A little bit, yeah.
Cluster unfucked a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't... I don't know where my brain is, because I can't remember this movie. Some of the people... Mixnuts is what I'm thinking of. And I'm almost positive Mixnuts is not Chevy Chase. It is Steve Martin. So
okay,
that's the one I was thinking of, because it's Christmas related too.
Ah,
so
I'd say LA Story was Christmas related, but it's not. It's just the road sign that keeps lighting up.
Yeah.
So there's lights.
Yeah.
But wrong kind of lights.
I think that's it. Question wise.
Yes, it is question wise.
Yeah, we're pretty far in, aren't we?
Yeah, we're 56.
Yeah, well.
Plus 57.
I wanted to try and give people a little something extra, because, like I said, this is probably going to be the last one until the new year.
Here, pull my finger.
No. I wanted to give them something extra.
Oh. Okay.
Until you can smell a podcast, you just keep that to yourself.
It's the scratch and sniff version.
Oh, boy. it's another Christmas tradition.
That was for you, Mike.
The very, very first half-hour version of The Simpsons was actually a Christmas special where Homer... It's where they get Santa's little helper. Homer takes a job as a mall Santa. Bart finds him. It was the first cartoon I ever watched where someone said damn on and it blew my mind. It blew my little kid mind that someone's saying damn on a cartoon. Yeah, that was a good
one.
The Simpsons Christmas special from the very... Like I said, they were all just Tracy Ullman shorts, and then this was the first half-hour version before the show really started.
Right. So that's right. Yeah. I remember Matt back when he used to write for...
I'm just a big kid, and I love Christmas so much, because he sounded like Walter Matthau back then.
Yeah.
Like, intentionally. Dan Castellanta... Dan decided... Castellanta? Castellia? Castellia? I don't know.
Castellano?
No, it's got an NTA. He's one of the Tracy Ullman guys, mm-hmm. right, on the Tracy Ullman show. And he also did a bunch of voices for Clay Fighter, I want to say, which is a great Super Nintendo fighting game. It was rotoscoped animated clay figures. It was really cool.
Hmm.
But yeah, you know, he does Homer and Krusty and Grandpa and all those things. But his voice back then for Homer was Walter Matthau.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really... It's still a really good episode too.
What's the one that Matt used to write that was in the Oregon paper? Life is Hell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Life is Hell, the rabbit, yeah.
Yes. Those were great.
Yeah, and he still puts that rabbit all over the place.
Yeah.
So it's been in Futurama. It's been in The Simpsons a bunch of times. But, you know, they do that all the time. Like, the Three-Eyed Fish was just in a 10th season episode where Fry goes to Omicron Percy I-8 because Lur's son, Gerd, or, I don't remember, kidnapped, or basically he gets left behind when they're stealing pot from the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And Lur's son, Lur is, of course, the emperor of Omicron, whatever, you know, he finds him in a shed a la E.T. and takes him into his room, and there's the three-eyed fish from The Simpsons.
Oh.
The power plant fish. So, stuff like that happens all the time.
So, I was never a big Simpsons guy.
I wasn't, but it was kind of hard to avoid. I mean, I was for a bit because I was a kid, right? Like, I was a kid right in that yes. time. So, you know, like, I had a shirt that said, "Eat my shorts" on it. It's funny. Whatever.
Well, I had a Bart Simpson doll, plastic doll with the actual spiky head.
Hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I had, like, one of those little keychain things, and it would say, "I Carumba" and stuff. But it was like, you could barely, that's a man, it's like he's standing right there. You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Well, Neil.
If you're listening.
You're killing me. We're 35 shows in here, buddy. And not even a... I mean, granted, we haven't sent you email or asked or anything aside from on the podcast. But still, you know, just reach out.
Tell us about the Little Star of Bethlehem.
Yes, tell us about that and the fact that it was probably a... No, it was probably a supernova.
Oh.
It was likely a supernova that went on for a couple of years, essentially, and... would have been very bright in the sky at that point.
Hmm. I would like to hear that Christmas story.
When God blows up a star, he impregnates a virgin.